The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a timely, downloadable resource designed for Bible classes. It's titled Called to Vote, A Christian's Approach to Elections. Called to Vote is written by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Ken Cherb. You can find out more and download Called to Vote on every page of our website, issuesetc.org. Called to Vote, A Christian's Approach to Elections, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is big. If this is exactly what they're saying, it is. It's pretty big. It's one of the biggest events in history. It's near biblical in its proportions. In fact, it's something that Jesus predicted in the latter chapters of Matthew. The destruction of Jerusalem and perhaps the discovery of the place where the Romans breached the ancient city's wall, leading to the destruction of the city and of the Second Temple in 70 AD. Joining us to talk about this archaeological discovery, Dr. Craig Evans, professor of Christian origins and dean of the School of Christian Thought at Houston Baptist University, and author of several books, including Jesus and His World, The Archaeological Evidence. Dr. Evans, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Great to be back.
Why has it taken so long to find this particular, what shall we call it, pile of rubble, I guess?
Well, that's part of your answer right there. There are piles of rubble from antiquity everywhere in Jerusalem. If you're talking about the old city, and that's really what we're talking about, the old city, which is not huge, and immediate surroundings, there's rock everywhere. And, of course, it's a living modern city, which means people build on top of old stone, and you can't just dig under somebody's house. So how you excavate in and around Jerusalem is complicated, and that's true for any ongoing living city. That's true of Rome. That's true of other cities as well. And so it's not a surprise to me that it takes a long time. Josephus is our main source. Jesus foretold the coming destruction. Josephus describes it years later. And so the archaeologists had a sense, a general area where to look. But, you know, there's a lot of ground, and there's no GPS in antiquity. Josephus doesn't give us an exact location. He just says over there where the hill slopes this way and something else is over there. And so that might get you within 100 meters. And so this kind of thing is hard to find, but when they're digging in a certain area, they often will find it. The Pool of Siloam is the same thing. We had a general idea, but we were just off 60, 70 meters, and it was just more luck than anything else that we found it. So this is the same kind of thing.
So what event is recorded here in stone that the archaeologists have discovered? What was the destruction of Jerusalem by Titus in 70 AD?
Oh, well, that's what's really excited about it. This is the place where we think the army under command of Titus, because his father has been proclaimed emperor, he's left his son Titus in command of the Roman legions who are trying to put down the Jewish rebellion, a rebellion that began in 66. The siege gets underway in 69, comes to a horrible end in the summer of 70. We think this is the place where they poked through the walls and began to fight their way toward the Temple Mount. So that's what makes this such an exciting place. It isn't just a battle anywhere else in Jerusalem or anywhere else in Israel. This is the breach in the wall. There was a lot of violence. Many siege stones have been found. It was bombarded in an attempt to destroy the Jewish defenders and make it possible for the Roman army with their battery rams to force their way through the breach. And of course, according to Josephus, and it's very likely, many Romans died, through the breach. I mean, even in British history, the Forlorn Hope, as they were called, those were the volunteers who said they'd be first through the breach. And that's why it's become a figure of speech. It's extremely dangerous, the high casualty rate. So that is a very dramatic, that's like finding Masada in a way. That's quite a symbol. So the Romans forced their way through the third wall. They were on their way to the Temple Mount, and that's where defeat finally took place. And so to find the actual location, it's not 100%, but it's probably the right spot. It is in the general location that Josephus mentions. And the finds, the archaeological finds, would indicate, yeah, it probably is. You got all these what are called ballistas. They're siege stones. They're like big stone round balls that are fired from the catapults. They weigh hundreds of pounds. And when they smash against a defensive position, it's just shattered. And of course, if it hits people, it just knocks them to pieces. So it's pretty graphic. And I wouldn't be surprised as they continue to dig down. They probably will find skeletal materials, weapons, and other things too.
How thorough was the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD?
It was extensive. It wasn't exhaustive. It wasn't total. Just about everything was damaged. Many buildings were leveled. The Romans turned their wrath against the Jewish people and leveled the Temple Mount, thus inadvertently fulfilling Jesus's famous prophecy that not a stone would be left on a stone. And we've actually, if you go to the Temple Mount today and walk around on the west side and the southwest corner, you can see piles of stones that were flung down, and out of respect, out of reverence for what those stones represent, some of them could actually be the temple itself. Archaeologists have just left these heaps of stones, and you can actually see where they hit the pavement, the weight and force caused the pavement to collapse in some areas. I've been there many times. And so that was total. So if you're talking about the Temple Mount, yeah, it was thorough destruction. It was total destruction. Elsewhere in the city, there would still be places to inhabit. And the Jewish people did inhabit Jerusalem and did repair and rebuild parts of the city over the next 60 years until the next great revolt in 132. And when the Romans put it down in 135 AD, that was it. Jerusalem was no longer a Jewish city. In fact, its name was changed. So this is a long, violent history. And what happened in the summer of 70, which is what we're talking about now, tragically was just a prelude to several decades of violence and what would end the existence of the Jewish state until our own modern time.
So the Romans appear to have, they just didn't mount sieges like this of cities at a whim. This revolt on the part of the Jewish people in 66 was more serious than just some kind of casual uprising, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was huge. A lot of reasons it was huge. It wasn't just they were going up against a fortified walled city. And that was not something Rome did very often, because nobody revolted inside the Roman Empire. So it was almost unprecedented in that sense. The other thing is Israel was a key player in the East. Lots of people don't know that. They think of Israel as sort of the outback, not that important, you know, sort of a armpit of the Middle East. Far from it. Under Herod the Great, Israel was the keystone that held together the Roman East against the Parthians, for example, in the northeast, against the the people of Petra and Aretas, the king, you know, today's Jordan, directly to the east. And that's what Israel was, a key player, a stabilizing power. And for the Jewish people to revolt, that was incredibly destabilizing. That would be like Britain revolting against NATO today. I mean, it was just what? I mean, it would just destabilize the Western allies. So that's what happened to Rome. And so the Jewish revolt, look what happened. Nero commits suicide halfway through it in the year 68. There are three failed would-be Roman emperors, would-be successors, and then finally Vespasian. I don't think we appreciate the chaos that was going on in the Roman Empire during this revolt, and what a huge trauma it was for the entire empire. So it wasn't some little fight that some people might think happening off in an obscure corner. The whole Eastern Empire was threatened with collapse. And so it was a strategic moment in time, and for the Romans, it was, I don't know how anything could have been more important.
With only about 30 seconds here, Dr. Evans, this on the scale of archaeological finds, you know, comparing one to another, where would you put it on the scale of 1 to 10?
Oh, I'd put it up as an 8, you know, and who knows? We might be talking 6 months from now after something else is found there and ratchet it up to 9 or 10. Well, we just got to let the diggers keep digging and see what they find.
Dr. Craig Evans is professor of Christian Origins and dean of the School of Christian Thought at Houston Baptist University and author of several books, including Jesus and His World, The Archaeological Evidence. You can purchase this book at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Evans, thank you so much for your time.
Ah, you're very welcome. Great to be with you.
When we come back, it'll be hour two of Issues Etc. on the special 3-hour edition of the program on this Tuesday afternoon, October the 25th. We're going to be talking with Bill McKeever. We've been hearing a lot about GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump and Mormon support or lack thereof. We'll talk about Mormons and the GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump with Bill McKeever of Mormonism Research Ministry. Then Pastor Tom Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson, Saul becoming king in 1 Samuel. And then, because it's Issues Etc. Reformation Week, we're going to, in the last hour of the program, the third hour, continue our series for Reformation Week, Luther's Inner Circle. We're going to talk about Luther's fellow reformer, his right-hand man, a lay theologian and an educator of great fame in his own right, Philip Melanchthon. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.